sometimes people think, you know, I'm gonna tithe and like,
poof,
I expect the harvest the next day.
I think something so important when it comes to tithing and sowing and reaping and expecting your harvest is to, for one, get your eyes off of the time, but also stop chasing down the harvest.
God actually gave me that word momentum, and how sometimes things start off kind of small or kind of slow. Mm-hmm. But if you keep trusting him and keep sticking with what he's called you to do, keep, like, it starts building momentum.
Hello, and welcome to the Purdue Podcast. And this is Real Talk and Kingdom Walk with Pastor Heather Purdue and Pastor Aaron Purdue. We are pastors at Caris Christian Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. We are so happy you're here. We can't wait to talk about this topic that we have for you today. But first, please subscribe to this channel. Please let us know where you're watching from in the comments. If anything that we talk about really resonates with you, we want to know. So, yeah, communicate with us. We want to talk to you.
Yeah, right? If you're ever in the Colorado Springs area, please come to a service here at church. We're always here all the time.
We are literally always here, yeah.
We have a lot of stuff going on all the time.
We do.
Of course, our Sunday services, Wednesday nights, but we have special events coming up. And definitely come to Colorado.
Yeah. It's fun.
It's a great place to visit. It's actually, since I, you know, grew up here, it was kind of low key 20 years ago, but now it's like a huge tourist destination. And I was actually in the car yesterday with Jesse and Kathy Duplantis, and they were talking about, they just came here with their daughter, granddaughter, to do a vacation just on their own, and
rode the
cog rail up Pikes Peak.
Yeah, he said he started evangelizing on it because the people on the train can't get away.
Yeah, so we're driving. My dad and I were driving them up to do some ministry, and we're just talking. But they love Colorado. Colorado's a beautiful place. So
it is.
Definitely come, you know, for vacation, but come for a special event here or a service here. We'd love to meet you in person.
Yeah, we have an events tab at CarisChristianCenter.com. So you can just click on the... what do they call that thing? Anyway, the tab at the top, and then go down to where it says events, click it, and it will let you know what we have going on here.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So today's topic, I'm excited about this topic.
All right.
We're going to be talking about generating momentum for success.
Ooh.
Generating momentum for success. God actually gave me that word momentum before and just showed me how he's helped just generate momentum and how sometimes things start off kind of small or kind of slow. But if you keep trusting him and keep sticking with what he's called you to do, keep, like, it starts building momentum.
I think Christianity as a whole is building a lot of momentum right now all across the world, not just in America, but.
And God's spirit generates momentum.
Yeah.
And sometimes the toughest spot is at the beginning, because that's when the thing is the heaviest, and it takes more energy to get it started.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're, but as it builds, it's like a snowball effect.
And
it keeps
stop
getting
it.
Bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And I remember I was helping Ada, our little four-year-old, she's almost five now, build a snowman. Yeah, and she was really fascinating that you start off with a small snowball and you keep rolling it.
And
she wanted to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
I'm sure.
And I mean, I got that bottom snowball is about as big as I could get it. It's almost as tall as me. And she just was so fast and she wanted to keep it going. But I'm like, that's
all the snow we have in our yard.
That's all I can do. If I could tell, like, that, just seeing that thing grow was really fascinating to her.
Yeah.
And God's kind of showing me how sometimes just starting off with something that seems small, it actually,
it's
what turned into something really big. What kind of, when that happened, I remember when I remember the exact time when he gave me that word momentum.
Okay.
It's shortly after we got married. We sold your place in Woodland Park. You had a small home there. We lived in my house on the west side of town for a little bit. And it was my bachelor house. So I bought it when I first moved here 10 years ago. I bought it 10 years ago this month, actually.
Wow.
I remember I came home, this time 10 years ago to buy it. And it was like a huge thing for me. I remember, like, I actually sent the down payment, wired the down payment before I even saw the house in person. And I just remember, like, that was such a big deal.
Yeah.
And to sign for the loan is a big thing for me, a big decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I bought this house for, and I felt really strong that I was supposed to do it and do it then, even before I moved out here to officially start as a pastor a few months later. But I remember, I think I got it for like $250,000, lived there a few years, got married to you. We lived there for half a year and then sold it and bought something else. But when I sold it, I made $140,000 profit on it. And like that was a big chunk for me. And like in ministry, I don't get big bonuses. Like the,
you don't?
No, like in the ministry, nonprofit world. Like both of my younger brothers are in business and oil and gas and corporate, and they get massive bonuses sometimes.
Yeah.
And God just told me that's my bonus to you for doing a good job.
Yeah.
And but he also showed me that big increase, it was really cool. I remember like adding up everything I did to the house and sold it for and bought it for and figured out what the profit on it was. And I remember, because I want to tithe, I promised God I'm going to tithe, because it, you remember when we sold it, like COVID happened and we were initially going to sell it, but then it fell through.
And,
and at first it was going to, you know, there's a lot of attention, but then it was like crickets. And then we did get it sold, and it was kind of a difficult process.
Yeah, because we moved into our house, but we still owned our old house and we had it on the market.
So we were paying
two mortgages basically. And then, but the market was so hot that we're like, oh, this is no problem. That thing's going to sell. And sure enough, like within the first, how many weeks did it get an offer? And it was like,
it did the first day, but the lockdown.
No, the first day it had a contract on it. Yeah. And we're like, man, we got it in the bag. This thing sold.
Well, and the day we listed it was the day before the lockdown happened. I remember there were like 15 showings.
And the person that had,
the person that had a contract on it was supposed to move here to be a professor at the Air Force Academy. They're in the military. But the military froze.
Yeah.
Their job assignments, so they ended up not coming, and they asked if they could get out of the contract, and we just let them.
Yeah, we let them out of it. But then it ended up selling a few months
later. We relisted it, and there's like no showings.
Yeah.
And then there wasn't any showings for like a month or two, and then I think we just took it off the market to kind of reset the clock on it. And our realtor left the sign up in the front yard, even though we pulled it off the market.
And, maybe you shouldn't have said that on the podcast.
I don't know.
I think that was against.
I don't know. Maybe her realtor rules or whatever. But across the street, there's a home for sale. And someone was there looking at that home and saw ours and just called a realtor and said, hey, is that for sale? It's like not on the
list. Talk about the favor of God.
And we ended up selling it.
Yeah.
But I remember like praying and just saying, God, like if this thing sells, I want to tithe. Like, God, I want this thing gone. And you're partnering with me in my finances. And so I added up everything, and it is $140,000 profit. And I wrote a $14,000 check.
That was really cool.
To the church, and I think that's.
Is that when God gave you momentum? The word.
Yeah, momentum.
Yeah, because that's what we're talking about.
Because it started years back.
Yeah.
With him giving me this idea to start a watch business, and I bought one watch.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, maybe I'll wear it a little bit and sell it and try to double my money on it. And that watch got stolen, but then I bought two more, made money on those, and then it kept growing.
At that time, between the time that you started the watch business and the time you sold the house, how many years was that?
What year did we sell the house?
2000. Well, that was the lockdown. So was that 2020?
It was 2020. We sold it in 2020. And I started my business in... Oh, gosh, I have to do math.
Uh-oh. There. You're a good mathematician.
In 2011.
Yeah.
So it was nine years.
Yeah. So 9 years. So it took a little bit of time to build that momentum up.
Yeah. Because like you said,
it takes a minute to like get that thing rolling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it takes a period of time. You know, and this is the thing about finances too. Sometimes people think, you know, I'm gonna tithe and like
poof,
I expect the harvest the next day. But sometimes it's years and years of
sowing. I think something so important when it comes to tithing and sowing and reaping and expecting your harvest is to, for one, get your eyes off of the time, but also stop chasing down the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
just trust God.
It says that it will overtake us. Mm-hmm. So yeah, trust oh my gosh, I can't even talk. Trust God and enjoy your life and enjoy your fellowship with Him. The harvest is coming. Mm-hmm. Make no mistake about that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People get too.
That's true in a lot of aspects of life too. But just keep at it, and that momentum generates.
It does.
You know, and it'll impact you, and
so your hard work is not in vain.
Yeah, and I actually started this kind of thought off with a scripture from Job 8 verse 7. It says, "Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end would increase abundantly." You know, Job is actually considered one of the books of wisdom. Mm-hmm. Along with like Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and there's a lot of proverbial advice in there. Mm-hmm. And some people take things out of context and kind of get
sidetracked.
But that's a great proverb, a great word of wisdom. Though your beginning was small, your latter end would increase abundantly. You know, increase is actually a very common theme throughout Scripture. It's part of the gospel. You know, the Bible says that the gospel is preached to Abraham. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul writes about that in Galatians 3. The gospel is preached beforehand to Abraham. If you look at the gospel that's preached to Abraham, it said, because, you know, you've followed me, you've obeyed me, you didn't withhold your only begotten son, you know, there on Mount Moriah, mm-hmm. where he built that altar called Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider, God spoke to him and said, I'm going to swear by my own name. I'm going to swear by myself. In blessing, I will bless you. So I'm going to bless you. In multiplying, I'm going to multiply you. Mm-hmm. So increase is part of the gospel.
Yeah.
You look at Christianity, it is increasing mm-hmm. because it's gospel.
Yeah.
You know, even about Jesus, about the Messiah, like of the increase of his government, there will be no end. His kingdom, it keeps mm-hmm. growing and growing.
Yeah.
It doesn't shrink back.
Yeah, that's good.
And the different facets of his kingdom, they don't go away. They don't cease.
Yeah.
Some people think that certain things cease, but it keeps growing. Mm-hmm. So we want to talk about this generating momentum for success. And this could be financially, it could be in your career, it could be family. Like, God does want you to be successful. Success is doing what God has called you to do. Mm-hmm. It might be as a missionary, it might be as a mother, it might be as a teacher. Success is doing what God has called you to do, and doing it well, and reaching your full impact. Mm-hmm. So success, it means different. People have different callings.
Yeah, success is not being rich.
No,
either,
because there are rich people who are very unsuccessful. Like they did not tap into what God wanted.
One time I was telling somebody this was like years ago. I was saying this exact same thing. Like, God wants us to be a success, and it triggered people big time. I think I just wrote it on my Facebook. I don't even spend much time on my Facebook anymore, but. Oh, man, people were so mad. They're like, no, that's not, God's just called us to have a relationship with Him. You know, when you have a relationship with Him, that's the point, right, to know God. But when you have a relationship with Him, the byproduct of that is He didn't create you to be unsuccessful. Mm-hmm. He did create you to be successful.
I had this thought, too. You know, and success, again, it's doing what God has called you to do. So, like, raising godly children.
Whatever that looks like.
Like, for my mom, she raised three young men who all love God, who are great husbands, who work hard, who...
I would say that's success.
That is success. Yeah. And she devoted decades...
Who she has a good relationship with all of them.
Yeah.
It's not a broken relationship.
So that's a huge success. Yes. You can't even put a value, mm-hmm. a dollar sign to that. Success, I just had this thought, but success is being fruitful.
It is.
Like, we're called to bear fruit. Mm-hmm. For something to scientifically be fruit, it has to have seeds. Mm. So to be fruitful, like, you're going to impact other people.
Yeah.
You're going to have the capacity to multiply. Mm-hmm. Multiplication, increase. You know, the thing that happens when you multiply something over and over and over again, that, you know, this blessing, I will bless you, multiplying, I will multiply you. When you multiply something over and over and over, it's where you get an exponential curve. Mm. You know, the gospel isn't just addition. Some people think it's subtraction. I guess it is subtraction, laying down your life.
Yeah.
But you're given so much more. Mm-hmm. And God keeps giving and giving and giving.
Yeah.
And helping and helping and grace and grace. And
as long as you keep yourself humble.
Yeah.
Because you can lay down your life at the beginning and then pick it back up and still do your own thing.
But he wants to, and when you multiply things, it becomes exponential.
Yeah.
You know, if I were to ask you, okay, you know, there at home, ask you here, would you rather have $1 million right now or just $2 right now? But this $2 will be multiplied by two every day for a month.
I'd rather have the $2.
$2.
With the multiplication.
Because you multiply by two, yeah, and by two and by two. Because you know that's exponential.
Yeah.
So if you have $2 that multiplies by two every day for a month, that'll be $2,147,483,648. So over $2 billion. Versus that one. Some people are trying to go after that instant.
Mm-hmm.
But just keep trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and maybe you feel like you've lost momentum. Sometimes we feel like we've kind of plateaued and lost,
mm-hmm,
that energy, lost that generation for,
yeah,
momentum that leads to success and what God's called us to do. Just go back. Keep being confident. You know, the Bible says in Philippians 1 verse 6, that we're to be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ.
I love that.
Yeah, and he's the one that does it.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that generates that momentum and keeps it growing and growing.
Yeah.
But he showed me that when I sold that house and I was able to write, you know, tithe, like the biggest tithe check of my life at that point, $14,000.
Mm-hmm.
He showed me this is a momentum,
yeah,
of blessing from when, you know, you were tithing 10 years ago, 9.5 years ago, starting this business. And that watch business is what helped me make that down payment on the house,
mm-hmm,
at the right time. You know, you made me sell that house. Not really.
I didn't make you.
It was, well,
I wanted to redo it and you didn't want to do that. So
I thought we just buy what you wanted. And
Anyways. Another topic for a different day.
This is really cool. I've talked about this at the church, but I think it really goes along with this topic of momentum.
Yeah.
And I just had lunch with someone today and I was talking about this and he loved it. He loved this kind of thought, how we need to have faith to begin, faith to continue, mm-hmm, and faith to become.
Yeah.
You know, that momentum aspect, that momentum of faith, it begins, continues and becomes.
Yeah, and each stage is very important.
Yeah, and God showed me this in Genesis 26 about Isaac. So Isaac, you know, he's a God of Abraham, Isaac, God of Jacob. So Isaac, you know, was the gospel son to Abraham, and he had to go on his own faith journey. He couldn't just rely upon his dad's faith.
Yeah.
That's a good, you can.
That's a word. I don't know. I don't want to get too far down.
But he had to go on his own journey. And so right off the bat, it says here in Genesis 26, verse 1, there was a famine in the land. So they're in Canaan. They're in the land that God had told Abraham to move to. It says, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar, the Lord appeared to him. So God's going to give Isaac some direction. He says, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. So in Genesis, when Abraham moved to Canaan, there was an intense famine there, and so intense that he had to move to Egypt.
Yeah.
So he moved down to Egypt, and that's when he like offered Sarah to, you know.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, crazy.
Pharaoh.
But so Isaac knew about that. You know, if there's a famine that goes on and we run out of food here in Canaan, this is what you do. You go down to Egypt.
Yeah.
So he's probably thinking, I'm going to go down to Egypt because that's what my dad did.
He already told
30
me.
Years ago. Yeah. I know this is how to survive in this land.
Yeah.
But God spoke to him and said, hey, you need to stay here. Verse 3, he says, dwell in this land. I will be with you and bless you. Sometimes people think that, well, the blessing is there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the blessing is right where you're at, and you need to stay where he's called you.
You're already blessed, really.
Yeah. So dwell in this land. I will bless you, for to you and your descendants I give all these lands. I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father, and I will make your descendants multiply. Again, that word multiplication.
Yeah.
This is actually the gospel being preached to Isaac now. I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac dwelt there in Gerar.
Yeah.
So he stayed.
Yes.
And I love something that he did here while he stayed. In verse 12, it said he sowed in that land. Mm-hmm. When people are planning, this is a great word for some of you. Mm-hmm. When people are planning on checking out, they're planning on leaving, they're going to stop sowing.
Yeah.
They're going to stop caring. Mm-hmm. They're going to stop investing. They're going to stop.
You see
Because they're not planning on being there for the long run.
Yeah. We see this a lot in marriages, mm-hmm. like marriage counseling and stuff like that. Because when you have one party that's like, nope, they don't want to give. They don't want to
make an effort.
Make any effort to love or grow.
Learn.
Or what, yeah. Then it's done. There's not much one half of the party can do by themselves.
Yeah. And if you're going to stay somewhere, you're going to keep sowing there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, farmers don't farm and then, well, I'm going to
just
quit, move away next month. Like if you're going to sow, buy a $1 million combine and put the seed in the ground, it's because you're planning on staying.
For the harvest. Yeah. That's
you're good. Expecting a harvest.
Yeah.
And so he sowed. You know, I'm looking for people that sow. People that care, people that want to invest their time, their talent, their finances. You know, look for people that want to sow into your life as well. If they've kind of checked out, then they're not really planning on staying.
Yeah. Hold on. So he sowed during the famine. So during the hard times he sowed. That's really significant.
And this is so hard too. Like people would move away to just survive.
Mm-hmm.
But he's thinking, I'm not planning just on surviving. I have this word from God that this is where I'm to be.
Mm-hmm.
Where nothing's growing, nothing's happening, nothing. I'm going to stay here.
That is so good.
And if I'm going to stay here, I better, you know, maybe there hasn't been a harvest for 3 years. I don't know. You know, in this type of culture, in this type of society, you know, eventually food runs out within a few years.
If there
hasn't been a harvest, you know.
That I'm just still thinking about that. And I love in verse 5, going back to verse 5, it says, for Abraham listened to and obeyed. Mm-hmm. My voice. And I used to think that like obedience was like a work. I don't know why. Like, I just thought I could just believe God and receive all his grace and all his mercy and not obey a thing that he's told me to do. And that is so dumb. Mm-hmm. That's like dumb. And
the Bible says those who are willing and obedient will
eat the good of the land. Yes. And I think that's so important because he obeyed, and you go back down to verse 26, and we see that he obeyed because he sowed even when it was hard. Mm-hmm. Even when it's hard, we still have to obey what God tells us mm-hmm. to do.
Yeah.
It's important. Like, people will say, oh, it's not grace, like, to put too much emphasis on works. That's not grace. That's just works. And I'm like, well, there's works or no works. There's a blessing attached to it, you mm-hmm. know? Obeying God and do what he's called us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obey what the word says to do.
I've kind of had this thought too. Like, I've been pastoring for 10 years now, but sometimes people get offended by someone else at church or someone else.
This
might be true in other circles too. Like
yeah.
maybe in your community, at a school, at your job, but just someone really irks you and like, I'm going to quit because, you know, if you just stick around.
Because I don't want to be around that
person. Yeah.
Yeah, because they rub me the wrong way.
But if you just stick around, those people will...
You can outlast them.
Yeah.
And you know what? Even if that's not the right approach to take, like a mindset, well, I'm just going to stay because they're going to leave. You know what? They might not leave.
Yeah.
But you might grow.
Mm-hmm.
But if you quit,
it's because
you're not going to grow. Mm-hmm. You're not going to reap anything from quitting.
Yeah, and I think too many people just run off to Egypt.
Well, because they think that's the easier thing, but it's really not going to be easy, mm-hmm. you know?
You just need to do what God's called you to do. And
truly.
Go where he calls you to go, but mm-hmm. also stay where he calls you to be. So it says he sowed in that land and reaped in the same year. This is Genesis 26, 12. This is so cool. Reaped in that same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him.
Yeah.
So he sowed in the time of famine and reaped in that same year 100-fold. And man, if you're gonna
wild,
and if you're gonna have that kind of harvest during a time of famine or shortly after a time of famine, think about the laws of supply and demand.
Oh,
like you're the one guy
that
who
has
invested
all the stuff.
You're the one guy who bought that stock when everyone else thought, you know, you're the one guy.
Yeah.
You're the one, and this, think about the demand for that and the limited supply. Like he became probably instant millionaire.
Yeah. He prospered. I think we're about to talk about
that. Yeah, and it says in verse 13 that he began, and I have it in my Bible underlined, began. Mm-hmm. He began to prosper and continued, I have continued underlined, continued prospering until he became very prosperous. So he began. Mm-hmm. He continued until he became very prosperous. And it took him faith to begin.
Yeah.
It takes faith to begin. It takes faith to continue. Mm-hmm. It takes faith to become. Mm-hmm. It takes God's grace and faith throughout the entire journey.
Yeah.
And some people love to begin things. They love to start things. They love to start a new diet.
That's me.
Start and, you know, buy a new outfit.
Oh, I love to start stuff. That's exciting.
Some people, and some people, like, I'm more like, I don't really like to start something new. I'd rather just continue. I'm like, faith to continue. Just very methodical. And this is the system. This is the way to do it. And I'm just going to keep doing it. And so some people just gravitate more towards one.
Well, like,
and some people just want to become. They just want to be insta famous, insta rich, insta.
I just want to be a success in anything that God's called me to do. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my goal. But I will say, just like starting this podcast, so much fun starting it. Mm-hmm. So much fun, like me, you, and the production team, like
decorating,
picking out stuff, decorating, talking about the things, dreaming about what we'd talk about. But then you start it. And that first episode is so fun.
Yeah, you have a couple ideas for the first two or three episodes.
And then guess
I really
what?
Want to talk about
it. And then it turns into something that's added into your already busy schedule.
So it's continuing.
And
now
you're like, why did I do this? You know, but then you have to go back and remember, well, did God call me to do it? Yeah, I believe that God called us to do it. And so that is like my anchor. Mm-hmm. When things get hard in the continued say, I'm learning to really embrace and enjoy having faith to continue in the things that God's called me to
do. I think I'm more of a continuing person. Like when you want to start something new,
this is why it's important.
I don't
to
think
marry
you even
right
talked
person.
To me.
What?
I don't think I was even part of the
And who picks
podcast
out most all
beginning.
The topics? You do.
Yeah.
Which is good. You pick out most all the topics. And I love that.
Well, this is part of continuing.
I know, it's part of the continuing. So, like, I had probably more faith for the start.
And I probably would say, don't start it. Don't.
You would have said, 100%, you would be like, oh, I don't want to do this. Let's don't start. I think I pulled the God card because I really felt like it was a God thing. And then right after we started it, as we're starting it, we get, like, the worst attack on our personal life ministry that we've ever had. And then that was like confirmation, right? Mm. That's like count it all joy.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're doing the right thing sometimes when the devil tries to come against you. But this is the reason why it's so important to marry the right person. Mm-hmm. Because we complement each other so well.
Yeah.
We are so different, but our hearts are aligned to the same things. You know?
It's very true. Like I like to... You know, you like to go to new places. Like, even we do a family vacation once a year. You want to go somewhere new.
And
I
very
just,
methodical
I'm like, let's
the
just,
same thing. Let's go to where we know is.
Or, like, right when we go on a date and pick a restaurant, I like to just go to the
same restaurant.
The same place that I know is good. I like to just continue.
I'm not too adventurous, though,
but
anyway.
You're a little bit more spontaneous and love to begin things, which is good. And it really takes both. You got to begin, you got to continue in order to become. Mm-hmm. And so it said he began to prosper, continued prospering until he became very prosperous. I love this next verse too. It said, for he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Mm. It's kind of interesting, envy. Mm-hmm. But I God kind of showed me about the possessions. You know, it's important to possess things that can multiply. You know, flocks, yeah. herds, even servants. These are things that can multiply. Mm-hmm. I actually just met someone at Costco yesterday who came to our church probably like 10 years ago. And I was just talking to this woman and her husband. And she has a business. She used to work at Costco. So I used to just catch up with her at Costco. And I think she would come once in a while to church and watch some online. And so I would usually look for her at Costco, and she worked there. And,
yeah.
You know, if I saw her running a register, I'd try to get in that line just to say hi and see how yeah. her, and you know, she has an adult son who kind of grew up here and just see how they're doing. And, but she started her own business and she's super excited. Like she, was showing me, but she, I think they kind of lived on a little hobby farm, you know, kind of east of town here. Mm-hmm. And had some animals, some goats and things. But she started a business with goats doing fire mitigation. You know, fires are a problem in Colorado. But yeah. like, rather than pay people to mow your lawn, mow all that brush.
So for the people that don't know, that don't live here, mitigation is like where they clear out all the...
the brush so it won't catch on fire.
And yeah. stuff.
But she said, I started a business with my goats, you know, mowing.
Mowing
goats or fire mitigation. And she actually, just the day before, such a God thing. You can see God in so many little details, but she was actually doing fire mitigation with her goats at my best friend's parents' house, where I used to go see him in high school all the time. And
that is funny.
She was actually my pianist in high school. She'd play with me when I played my flute solos.
Yeah.
But she was just there yesterday, like, I was just talking about you and our church. But she said, I started my business with 25 goats, and now I have 150 goats. But she tapped into something where God can multiply it.
Yeah.
You know, and she has a covenant with God. She loves Jesus. Mm-hmm. And but she got something that can multiply. Mm-hmm. You know, it's important to, like, have different types of investments and assets and things that are valuable. Mm-hmm. But some of those things need to be things that can multiply.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, some people are really into gold or Bitcoin or whatever.
If we're talking about, like, the momentum of success, then yeah. you definitely want things that can multiply.
Yeah.
They can build up a momentum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And usually those are things that you do have to set your hand to yeah. and tend. Mm-hmm. You know, like goats.
And keep up with.
You got to feed them. You got to fence them in. You got to do stuff with the goats.
Yeah.
You know, like gold, you can just put it in your closet, I guess. But things that multiply, you usually have to work at. And in all labor, there is profit.
Yes.
You know, so that beginning, continuing, becoming, it's God's grace towards you, but also your faith in working and stewarding and mm-hmm. every day doing what he's called you to do.
Yeah.
And I've just seen this so much in my own life, too, just how God will start off with something kind of small. And you just stick with it, and it grows and grows. And there's that generation, you know, God's spirit will generate momentum for success. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking about even how we met. Like, I think I told you this morning how just you are the most valuable thing in my life.
It's really sweet.
And, you know, I guess I waited till 32 to marry you. I think we met when I was 31. But for 10 years, you know, I prayed and asked God, sought mm-hmm. God for a good wife. And it was a long, again, that 10-year period. And you're here. You know, but even how we first started connecting, it was over something really small. Mm-hmm. I remember you had moved here, been here a month or so, started coming to church. And I think it was on a Wednesday night service. We went with just a group of people to Chick-fil-A mm-hmm. after church. And I just bought Fisher a ice cream cone.
Yeah.
For $1. Mm-hmm. Bought a lot more stuff.
If I would have known how significant that was, because you're not one to just buy random desserts at restaurants for people.
No, even not so much for Fisher even today.
No, to his dismay. No, he's like, can I have some ice cream? No. To his dismay, yeah.
But, you know, I bought him that cone, and I think for it was actually for over a year, I just kind of put dating and stuff on the shelf. I'm not going to worry about it because it'd become
too much
a care. Yeah. And I need to cast that care on him. And,
yeah,
and just,
that's good.
So I just found that cone. And then you, I think later that night, just wanted to say thank you or something. So you found me on Facebook, and I think you can tell your end of the story.
Well, I just wanted to tell you thank you. And I didn't have your phone number or anything, which I wouldn't have asked for it anyway. But I was going to message you, thank you. But then I was like, I don't want him to think anything. So I'm not going to do that. And I had typed it out, so I deleted it all. But then when I went to go delete it, I accidentally hit the poke button.
Is that still on Facebook?
I don't know if it's still on Facebook. This was like 2018. Mm-hmm. And I accidentally, or wave. It was either the poke or the wave button. And I was like, oh my gosh, why did I do that? That was such an accident. So then I had to not be extremely weird. I had to like be like, oh, hey, thanks for that ice cream cone, even though I had already decided that I didn't want to do that. But I think that was like a God thing.
Yeah.
Do you think it was a God thing?
Yeah, I think so. Because, it was a God thing. And
because you would never message any women or text any women or call any women or anything like that. You had said you had like completely taken a break.
Yeah.
For like a whole year.
Yeah. And I think I'd been here 4 years about as a pastor.
Yeah.
3 or 4 years. But yeah,
sparked conversation.
Yeah, it sparked conversation. Yeah. And I think a few weeks later, I think I invited you to my house with Fisher and like my best friend and his family.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I just wanted
to. It was really casual.
Yeah, very casual.
I wouldn't
casual.
Really say it was like a date.
No.
No.
Because I think we did that initially. And then I remember I just had like my old Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
From.
And y'all played 007.
We played 007.
Which is like such a pastoral
Nintendo
thing
64.
To do.
And like when you shoot somebody, like their whole screen like turns red. And
yeah.
Fisher's like, what is that? I said, it's Kool-Aid.
He was only 4 at the time. So anyway.
But that $1 cone.
Yeah. Turned into a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Financial investment into.
Oh, whatever.
You and the children.
Brag about how much.
My God, God.
Investing you do for us. Anyway,
true.
You do invest a lot. That's
so don't despise those small beginnings.
Yeah.
And those small beginnings are really special,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, and but because God can generate things from it, He can generate momentum,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it leads to success. It leads to,
yeah,
that amazing marriage, you know, amazing job, amazing ministry, you know. So don't despise those small beginnings, and just be very sensitive to listening to Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's a good word.
And having that faith to begin, but faith to continue, faith to become.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. It takes faith.
It does.
That's about all I have to share along that subject. So maybe you just feel like you've been stuck and aren't really sure how to start.
Yeah.
You know, God is always creating and starting new things,
mm-hmm.
in you, in your life. You know, maybe you feel like you've been beat down and like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no momentum. There's nothing happening. God loves to spark new things. But sometimes it's in seed form. It's small at first.
Mm-hmm.
But just trust Him with that. You know, have faith for that initial thing He's doing. And just keep at it. Keep trusting Him. Keep
sowing, even when it looks like a famine.
Yeah. And I believe that's a word for a lot of people here, that you... And it's going to be incredible by the time you become,
mm-hmm.
you know, it might be 10 years from now, but
it might not be 10 years.
It might not.
Sometimes. So it, like when we first got married, like, well, when I first moved here, we started dating in September, and then you asked me to marry you in December.
It's true.
That didn't take too long.
No.
You know? So, I mean, it doesn't always take a long time, but the thing is, like, you just got to get your eye off the clock, and then you got to, or the calendar or whatever, and mm-hmm. then you just got to keep being consistent and doing that thing that God called you to do,
mm-hmm.
and don't feel like it's insignificant, because
mm-hmm.
it's not.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I think we're about out of time.
I think we are. So, yeah, just thanks so much for joining us today. I believe that God's going to just generate momentum in your life too, and and help you become everything he's called you to be.
Yes, amen.
And success, it is bearing fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fruitfulness is what he's called you to do.
Yes.
You know, impacting others, impacting the people he's called you to impact. Maybe it's through a ministry or mm-hmm. through a job, through your family, you know, all fruit has seed.
Yeah.
So you're investing in other people.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trusting God that he's going to keep bringing seed to the sower. You're going to keep giving. You're going to keep loving, keep trusting.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to just...
And that's faith when you do that.
That is faith.
Yes, amen.
And he'll bring you success.
Yes,
and
it'll
help you be a greater giver, a greater singer, a mm-hmm. greater mother, a greater teacher.
That's right.
And I just feel like whoever feels like, just keep trusting him. You know, have that faith to begin, faith to continue, faith to become.
Yes.
Well, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. We try to have a new one about once a week and try to just really share about things that God puts on our heart. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, from feedback we've gotten, it's really helped people.
Yeah.
Inspired people. So we try to be very sensitive to God, but we really... are here because we care about people and want to help people. And you know, if this has helped you in some way, be sure to comment. Maybe something that we said just really connected with you, resonated with you. Just write that down too, what you really enjoyed or felt connected with. That encourages us and encourages other people too. But thanks so much. And be sure you can go to our church website as well, www.charischristiancenter.com. And find a lot more resources there. We have a lot of great teaching. And thanks so much for joining. And we hope to see you again very soon. God bless you.